In all your Ford experience, were you around any of the Ford family?
I had a Ford cousin that worked for me for maybe a year. And I got to some meetings where Henry Ford II, the Deuce, was in, but I was sitting, you know, in the back row. But I never had any direct dealings other than that. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just too low in the company to actually be working directly with him in any fashion.
And Henry Ford II was the son of Edsel Ford.
Correct. He was the oldest of three sons.
So was Henry Ford II respected and thought of as a great leader, not just a family member?
He didn't start that way, but he did become that way. What he did, and that's how McNamara got to the Ford Motor Company, is Henry Ford realized when his grandfather died and he was put in control, he realized that he didn't know anything really about the business. And he had to get lieutenants in that really were smart. And so he started hiring very capable people to come in from other places. And one of the things he did, he went to the military and he was going to hire a fellow by the name of Thornton. He was working with the government in procurement, and he had all these bright young college guys, very brilliant, that were working in every aspect of military procurement and supply and transit and so forth. And he wanted to bring all of them with him. They're called the Whiz Kids. When they got to Ford, Henry agreed to that, and then they put these young people in very responsible jobs, and then they quickly moved up because they were so far superior to the kinds of people that were there in the company. One of the men was a finance whiz, Ed Lundy, and he started bringing in, you know, Harvard and Yale, Stanford from the best schools. All of those people all had big jobs in the Ford Motor Company.
So that was a good thing that he brought us in. Tell us how you came to the attention of the upper level CEOs.
Well, I got transferred from accounting into auditing. What they did with young people like myself is they moved them into different departments so that you got great exposure to a lot of different businesses. And finance is really a wonderful place because they deal with everything. You know, no one can do anything without getting the budgets and reporting the financial results to finance. And audit happened to be one of the finance functions. I got in there, and at that time we were doing pretty much financial audits of dealerships to make sure they were financially sound, that they were properly capitalized and they were doing this and that. And we would go out and spend 2 weeks doing an audit and coming back or writing an audit report. There were other things we could have done, but that was the focus at that time. I was there in the office one day. The assistant controller, he was looking for my boss who was on vacation. He looked around and, you know, I was the only one sitting there. He said, "Joe, I'd like to talk to you a minute." And he said, "I've been asked to see what we can do about both our sales incentives and our warranty costs were way out of line with what was being experienced at Ford Division." And he said, "We'd like to find out if there's anything that we could do to attack that." And I said, "Absolutely." I said, "We haven't been doing that, but we can do that actually here to highlight and focus on which dealers are the most abusive in these areas using our computers." And at that time, you know, we had gotten these big size computers, but we had the data coming in and it was available to us. So he said, well, I'm meeting with the controller tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. And he said, do you think you could have something where we could, you know, where I could talk to him? Well, I just rolled up my sleeves and I worked till 10 o'clock at the office, went home, had a bite to eat, and worked till about 2 o'clock. And I had made arrangements for the secretary to come in the next morning early. And I had this paper, you know, drafted that she typed. And by 8:30, I walked over to the assistant controller and I said, Mr. Schimmel, here, I've got, I think, what you're looking for. And he took it and he looked at it. He took off his glasses and looked at me. He looked back again. He said, who did this? I said, I did. When did you do this? I said, last night. He says, this is just what I'm looking for. This is exactly what he wants. And so what it said was, here's what we were going to do. We were going to target and then go out and audit the dealers who were taking advantage and submitting fraudulent claims, both warranty and sales. And he asked me to come by the controller's office at, 15 or 20 minutes after the hour, because he wanted to introduce me to the controller. So he went down there and blew the controllers, you know, off the floor, and they brought me in and introduced me, and then we put this thing together, and we recovered millions and millions of dollars.
All right. Do you think, when he came to your office and nobody was there, was he coming looking for you, or was it just fortuitous that you happened to be sitting there?
The latter.
And, okay, so we take that moment in time, but then we add a lot of hard work. You had to prove yourself, but you were given the opportunity, and you did it, and that's what brought you to the executive level.
Exactly. I think it was maybe a year and a half or 2 years later, I was promoted to supervisor. And at the time, I was the youngest supervisor in the Ford Motor Company.
Okay, we got to ask you your age.
let's see. I started, I was 22. And
when you started,
I think I was 25 when I became a supervisor.
And this is in the early 60s.
Yes.
25 years old and one of the youngest, or the youngest, supervisor.
And so that, you know, that really was a major help in getting a reputation of being able to deliver. And that's one of the things that I think you have to have. You've got to have somebody who will support his boss, somebody that can be extremely reliable, somebody that has got perseverance to get the things done, somebody who can always be even more concise on what is needed and what would be of value. That gave me that cachet.
Well, you were probably noted as the guy who came in early and stayed late.
Yes.
So there you go. You outworked a lot of people.
Well, you know what? I was never the smartest guy in the room. I mean, I graduated with honors and all that, but I wasn't a straight 4 point. I was a 3.75 or 3.6 or something. But I worked hard. And that ends up, because a lot of times the real bright guys, they're off and they figure they don't, you know, it's always been easy for them and they don't have to apply themselves.
Their brains will get them through.
Yes.
Yeah.